Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Welcome to Onceable. I'm Jen, and today I'm joined by Kristen and Laura. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
All right, so we are going to discuss the latest episode called Rocky Road, which was such a good episode. So I'm just going to throw it out there right now. I'm giving it a huge thumbs up. I actually got to see it at New York Comic Con on Friday, and I was dying for someone to talk with about it because all of you guys weren't with me, so none of you guys had gotten to see it. And I just wanted to talk all about it, so I'm glad we have that opportunity today. So what did you guys think, Laura? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs up. I really, definitely, totally enjoyed this one. And even as someone who knows nothing about Frozen, I really enjoyed it.
Excellent. Kristen?
Yeah, same here. Thumbs up. It was good fun. And people are back that we haven't seen in a while. And we got more Kristoff, which I really, really liked this time. So yeah, I loved it. Thumbs up.
Excellent. All right, let's move on to some of our favorite quotes, because I felt like I wanted to quote the whole episode. Like, it felt like that banter was back, and that really that ease of conversation so many of the characters have with each other. So, Laura, why don't you go ahead and start with your quote?
My quote, yeah. Actually, it's kind of hilarious, because I'm actually quoting Hook today, and we all know that I'm not a huge Hook shipper, but I loved Hook's quote when he had the phone in his hand. I thought he was taking a selfie at first. I was like, what the heck is he doing? And he says, it's a device for talking. I don't bloody know. Hit the Emma button and she answers usually. I loved it because I felt it was sort of almost a little Sleepy Hollow-ish, where like Ichabod gets befuddled by technology every day. And I felt like Hook was kind of having an Ichabod moment. So I just laughed out loud at that. It was hilarious.
That was a really funny one, actually. I had to refrain because I have like 3 or 4 quotes. I'm like, but I like them all. They're so good. So, Kristen, what do you have for a quote?
Well, I was like seconds from pasting the one Laura has into mine, and she did it, and I went, dang it, just too late. So that was honestly my favorite quote. But I also had one from Kristoff when he said, she's going to be fine. I've seen Anna fight wolves and snow monsters and that idiot from the Southern Isles. Which, just adorable.
Yeah, I liked all the Kristoff like banter at Hans. I really liked his little commentary on that. It was really fun.
Me too. That whole scene in the cave, like all the stuff between them was great. I loved it.
Yeah, I actually, yeah. All right, so I'm going to pick one for Karen and one for Brittany because they're not here. And then I'm going to pick a couple for myself because I couldn't choose. So I have between the snow monster and the cave, it seems like the savior needs saving. And that one's from Regina towards Emma. And there was another one that Regina had that was really funny about the painting with that Snow White put up of the birds.
Oh my gosh. That was just, it was just priceless.
Regina
was
amazing this episode. And then Granny says, as much as I like to push the hot chocolate, she needs to be stopped.
That got me too, man. Like, it popped out of nowhere, and at first I was like, wait, what?
She had the one little zinger in there. It was great.
Yeah.
And then one from the Knave who says, 2 sheriffs, bloody hell, that's not even fair, is it?
It's so nice to have him back.
I know, I'm so excited.
I love him so much.
And then the last one was from Elsa, where she says, Emma has magic, and you clearly don't want to outrun her. And in response to Hook's, well, I usually try to outrun weather and magic comment. So I thought that was pretty funny on Elsa's part. Cause she's calling Hook out on his woe is me crap that he's putting on for everybody. All right, so let's start the discussion, because I feel like a lot happened in this episode, both in Arendelle and in Storybrooke. So let's start with talking about everything that happened in Arendelle. First off, it starts off with Kristoff and Anna discussing, Kristoff and Elsa discussing that Anna is missing. They can't seem to find her anywhere. They know that she's been to the Enchanted Forest, but now they can't find her anywhere, and Elsa's really, really upset about that. And Kristoff's kind of like, oh, you know, it's okay. Anna's really strong. She can do it. So we have that kind of kicks off the episode. Then what happens is they're interrupted, and the head of the guard comes in and says, you know, there are troops at our borders, and there are a lot of them. And it just happens to be Hans. So did you find that, Kristen, as someone who's seen Frozen, Did you find that like an interesting twist that Hans would like be bold enough to try to come back to Arendelle to take it over?
I wasn't surprised, because let's face it, he's kind of just an idiot and a big oaf and kind of a jerk. Yeah, no, it didn't surprise me at all, but maybe that he brought his brothers with him. Like, I was a little shocked that he wasn't just there with his troops. Like, he didn't seem to like his brothers very much or want them around, so I was kind of surprised to see the three or four of them that joined him.
Right. I almost wonder, though, if he didn't really have a choice.
Right, that was what was I more, assumed.
Yeah.
I was like, if he had his way, he'd probably be there by himself.
Yeah, so Laura, as someone who's not seen Frozen, what did you think about that whole concept?
I just kind of took it at face value. I mean, I was just like, okay, guy bringing troops. Okay, problems in the kingdom. Like, I didn't think very much about it. I mean, I sort of, like I said, I know very little of Frozen, so I'm like, oh, that must be that guy who originally tried to win Anna. Like, I just... You know, just put a ticket on the surface. It was okay with me. I mean, I don't know if he's in or out of character, but that's how I took it.
No, he was pretty good, actually, as Hans. I quite enjoyed him.
Yeah, me too.
I thought like, he did a really nice job.
Yeah, it was very, very loyal to the story and the movie, and I really liked him as Hans a lot.
Yeah. So, against... And Elsa's wishes, Kristoff goes out to spy on Hans with Sven, and he and Sven have a lovely chat along the way. It just kind of cracks me up that they're using a real reindeer. I find that really funny.
Me too.
My husband can't deal with the reindeer. Like, literally, my husband doesn't watch TV unless I'm watching it, unless he stumbles on something on Netflix. So he's watching Once Upon a Time with me, and I guess he's just having trouble suspending disbelief, and he's like, he's talking to a reindeer. Is the reindeer answering him? This is weird. Like, he just couldn't grasp the fact that there was a real live-action reindeer. I'm like, they put a little thought bubble next to the reindeer. But, yeah, my husband was having a lot of troubles dealing with him talking to, or as he put it, the overgrown moose. And he also didn't like the shadow puppet horns at one point. Like, the horns were totally wrong when they were shooting it at one point. But, yeah, it's a little weird having him talk to wildlife.
Yeah, so they go and they discover that Hans has a plan to take this urn and trap Elsa in it, and then they're going to take over Arendelle, which is interesting, because now we know where the urn came from and whose idea it was. So from there, Kristoff goes back to Elsa and explains to her what's happened. She's not real thrilled that he went against her wishes, but she's grateful. So then Elsa decides that she and Kristoff will go out to get the urn before Hans, because Kristoff knows his way around the forest better than anyone, because it's what he did as a little boy. So the two of them go off, they find the urn, and they tend to get along a little bit better. I feel like during this section they're kind of finally starting to warm up to each other, because you get the feeling that Elsa wasn't really okay with Kristoff. I think she thinks he's silly or something, I'm not sure. I mean, what man who speaks to a reindeer isn't silly, but anyway. So they go off, they find the urn, but when they finally get it, Elsa decides that she can't destroy it. There's something written on it, even though we don't know what it is, and she decides she can't destroy the urn. And in that moment when she said she can't destroy it, Hans and his brothers show up into the cave.
I was a little surprised that she couldn't read it, considering, wasn't that the same language the journal was in?
No.
Like, her mom's journal?
I don't think so.
Because I swear, like, there was something written in what looked like that same type, like the runes or whatever she was describing, and they had both, like, read through it without a problem, and then this popped up, and I went, really? But, you know, if it wasn't, then maybe I just...
Yeah, I don't remember there being a different language in the journal, but maybe, I don't know. So they fight a little bit, and Kristoff gets captured by Hans, who is kind of just waiting for his moment to pull his sword on someone. And in the end, the deal is that Elsa will give the urn to Kristoff. To Hans, Kristoff will be set free, supposedly, which I would not have trusted Hans with that, I'm sorry.
No.
Especially, okay, here's the other thing. Elsa, come on. You're telling basically in front of the enemy that you're going to let them take her, you know, but at the same time, you believe Kristoff and he'll make it right. He find Anna and they'll get Arendelle back. So do you think Hans and his brothers are going to let Kristoff go if you know that's the plan for him? I mean...
Well, and that was the other thing. I was like, way to tell him the plan.
I know.
Like, Kristoff could have done that on his own. Like, he would have done that on his own. You didn't have to say it out loud.
Yeah, it was like, let's give it all away, shall we?
Yeah, like, you're monologuing. Stop now. You get ahead of yourself.
So from there, they open the urn, and all his... Hans is so arrogant, and he's saying horrible things about Elsa. Opens the urn, and this white, flowy liquid comes out.
Which can I just say, like, urns in deep, dark cave always have a good wind. Like, don't touch the urn buried in a cave. When did anyone think that was going to end well?
I was going to say, these new liquid people are replacing the smoke monsters, I think.
Like, yeah, seriously.
We're now just going to get a new person that comes out of the urn as liquid, and ta-da, there they are. It's
yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger. From Terminator will, like, morph at some point out of the liquid, exactly.
So, morphing out of the liquid, we get the actual Snow Queen in all her fancy-dressed glory. She freezes Hans instantly because, well, she didn't like what he was saying about her. The brothers run off, and that leaves Kristoff, Elsa, and the Snow Queen. And the Snow Queen makes an attempt to... off Kristoff. She's like, and who is that one? As she's pointing. And Elsa's like, oh, no, he's okay. So they all go back, and the Snow Queen says that their mother, that Elsa and Anna's mother was her sister, so making her Elsa's aunt. Do we think that's true?
I went back and forth on this. I couldn't decide if I believed her or not. Like, I want to believe that, yeah, she's related because it makes sense and it would, you know, explain away Elsa's power and where it came from, but it also seemed way too easy.
I kind of, again, no, Frozen. I just sort of went with it because clearly when she came into the room and looked at that picture, she had an instantaneous reaction to it. So I felt like, okay, I'm going to go theory, but, you know, and plus it's also like Once Upon a Time tends to just, like, you know, cross fairy tales so often and things get interconnected that aren't normally interconnected. So I felt like, okay, I could go the relative angle on this one.
Well, here's the thing. I'm thinking she definitely could be her aunt because if you look at Anna and Elsa, they look one, like, Anna's got darker hair. She looks very different. Anna looks very much like her mother, whereas Elsa looks very much like her aunt. So if you look at the two, like, generations, they could easily be related.
Yeah, that was kind of what I thought, too, yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of what sums up what happens in Arendelle for that part of the episode, because it's staggered throughout, but you kind of learn as we're going through who the Snow Queen is and what her relation is to Elsa. So that's kind of where it wraps up. You don't know much else about her in the past, except that she's supposedly related to Elsa, and that's it. I mean, that's what we got from that. Then we go into Storybrooke. Does somebody have anything else about that?
I'm wondering, do you think they're going to pull, like, a Star Wars, you know, I am your, you know, not I am your father, but, like, I am your mother, you know, in this? Do you think they're going to pull something like that?
I thought about it, but I don't know, because that's delineating so much from the story that's already been told.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? That's my only thing. Like, I don't know. But I'm wondering if the message in the bottle that their mother put into the ocean for them has something to do with her.
It could be. I mean, I also have to say part of me was waiting to see if, like, a genie or something popped out of the urn also, given, like, who else is in the episode, but, yeah. So I'm curious to see where it goes, too.
Okay. So in Storybrooke, we have a whole nother set of issues. And lots of fun things happening. So Emma, Elsa, and Hook go to see Rumple and Belle and question him about Anna and what he might know. He insists he doesn't know anything. They don't believe him. So they have Belle use the dagger on him. And now this could be Rumple's undoing for a lot of different reasons. But she uses the dagger, and everyone goes, oh yeah, well, he can't lie when the dagger's being used. Now, we know as an audience that the dagger's not real. Someone else in that group also realizes that the dagger isn't real, and we'll get to that in a little bit, because that was a great scene in the whole thing. So, from there, they're kind of left to figure it out. Then, it kind of starts off with Robin and Marion and, I forget the child's name, Roland?
Roland.
The three of them are kind of out and about town, and they go to get ice cream from the Snow Queen, and she clearly does something to Marion's ice cream. Why Marion out of everyone? I have no idea what her deal is with Marion, but clearly she doesn't like her either. So she basically gives her cursed ice cream. And that comes into play much later in the story. So from there, we go and we see Snow trying to run her first fireside chat as mayor. Did any of you guys find this, like, completely hysterical? Like, it just...
Oh my god, and as Ginny Goodwin is, like, trying to hold the prop baby, like, that was hilarious, and make it not look like a fake baby. Like, some shots it was real baby, some shots it was plastic baby, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
It was all kinds of awkward. And, I don't know, Snow as mayor just doesn't seem right, for some reason.
Yeah, there's something just off. Like, it's not that she can't do the job, because I'm sure she can, I think it's just that, like, it almost seems like too much. Like, she's a mom. No one in their right mind would ask a brand new mom to take on the duties of mayor. Like, it kind of bothers me. It's like, well, you know, I don't see that why they're all just like, you have to be mayor. It's your job. Like, she just gave birth, like, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. Like, give the chick a break. Like, give her a second to kind of get her head around this whole thing. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, something about this whole idea of her being mayor is just odd to me. I'm not really sure what it is. I can't put my finger on it. But so from there, we go to Henry and Regina, and they're in Granny's, and Regina brings Henry some comic books, which is really cute. And they have this really nice moment. I was so happy to see Regina, like, in a good place, like, with Henry. Like, it was so nice to see. And so she starts asking him about the book and who could have written the book or written who wrote wow who could have written the book and he doesn't really have an answer. He doesn't know. So he realizes that Regina wants to find out the writer of the book to fix it, and she explains it to him, and Henry is like, let's have a mission. And so I find it really funny that Regina wanted to call the mission Mongoose when Emma's mission with Henry was called Cobra.
I got the
Regina.
you know what I love more than anything else about that is that, you know, the season starts and you have both Hook and Regina, not Hook, sorry, you have both Rumple and Regina who are in theory redeemed, and Rumple goes down this dark road, which I'm sure we'll get to eventually, and Regina starts to go down this, you know, sort of dark road with her magic mirror, and then we haven't really seen too much of him lately, but she starts to be very honest. Like, she could have done the cruel thing with Marion, and she stops herself. She could have decided to lie to Henry and decides instead just to totally come clean about the entire thing. I'm loving this Regina, who clearly is still, you know, I don't know if tormented is still too strong of a word, but maybe conflicted about what her feelings are, and it's hard to be good or to choose the higher path, and yet I feel like she's doing it, which is really cool. That's what I loved more than anything about that whole exchange with Henry, is she could have lied through her teeth the whole way through, but the reality is that she absolutely goes and is honest with him, and it's complete opposite of what Rumple is doing with Belle. So for me, I was just, yes! So it, I don't know, I just love that thing.
No,
yeah,
I really
loved that scene too, a lot. I liked it more because of Henry being so happy for her and the fact that she's in his eyes, as far as he knows, she's not going down any dark path. She found a solution to the problem that doesn't involve, like, hurting or killing anyone. She wants to find the writer of the book and have him, you know, change her ending. And I just loved the happy, like, it's a happy little moment, and poor Henry has not had a whole lot of them, so it was just really sweet to see them be mother and son and have a cute little moment. It just made me really happy.
Yeah, and I like that Regina was comfortable enough to share with Henry what her plan was, and that he got in on it, and I love that bonding moment between them as well. Like, I think that's so good for Regina on so many levels, so I'm definitely in agreement about that scene. So from there, Marion is at the meeting, and she begins to freeze. And they bring her to the... Well, she's at the mayor's office, so they keep her there. And then Robin, oh, being Robin, he goes to Regina for help. So, go ahead. What did you get? I'm so torn about this, but what did you guys think?
I have to say, you know, props to Regina for being the bigger person. That's
totally.
All I can
yeah.
say. Because she did what she could, and she didn't, you know, she didn't pretend like it didn't hurt her. Like, she stood there and held her breath and was like, okay, I can do this. Like, I can totally be here and help. I can do this. And, yeah, that's all I can really say about that.
Yeah, I also like that Robin didn't play the, if you ever loved me card, you'll do this for me kind of thing. You know, it was very, I need your help, I didn't know where else to go, this is the story, and it wasn't like either one of them was, I would say, doing anything inappropriate as Marion is there passed out on the sofa. I really liked very much the way the whole thing played out. So I was good with it. And then there was that whole true love's kiss thing, and I went, ooh, I wonder. So.
Yes. All right. So from there, the whole frozen popsicle Marion thing kind of develops throughout the episode. True love's kiss doesn't work, as we learn, which is, I always love it when true love's kiss doesn't work, because I always find it fascinating to be like, well, what is really true love and the definition and all that stuff. So anyway, from there, we get Emma, who's going to go out and try and find the person responsible, and Hook is trying to be careful with her and being like, okay, I'll be your backup, I'll come with you, especially when Gina's like, you know, you need to take help, you're not doing so well with this whole kind of savior thing right now. And Emma yells at Hook and basically is so rude to Hook. So what did you guys think about Emma in that moment? Because that's definitely not a side of Emma we've seen too often.
Ultimately, I don't know. I just was kind of frustrated. Like, why are you yelling at him? Like, all he wants to do is help. There's no reason to scream at him. Like, he's done nothing but be really, really understanding and nice for the last couple of episodes, and he's trying to be of service when he can, and she's, you know, barking out orders and, you know, telling him what to do. So I was a little frustrated. I figured there was a reason she was acting kind of insane, but it doesn't make it better. Like, it still is like, come on, treat him right, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even a big, like, Hook Emma shipper, and I was like, oh, come on, cut Hook a break. Because a lot of times Hook does irritate me, and I have found him very non-irritating the last two episodes. So, yeah.
Okay, and so Hook stays and is put in charge of Elsa, which goes oh so well later on. But Emma and, oddly, she takes her father, Prince Charming, to the forest, and they go in search of to see who could be out there, and who do they find? The Knave. So, Kristen, tell us about how you felt at the reappearance of the Knave.
Oh, how happy I was. I absolutely love the Knave, and I love that we didn't really miss a beat with him. Like, he's, you know, plundering and stealing, and during the blackout was, you know, running around town trying to get his hands on whatever he could. Like, that's so in his character, and it's fabulous. And I'm just really, really happy to have him back, and I can't wait to see how he gets along with everyone over the next, you know, however many episodes. Like, I want to see what his role is going to be the rest of the time here.
Yeah, I actually like that he sort of reminded us of the Robin Hood connection, because I thought that was cool, because I think a lot of people may have forgotten about that. And then secondly, my next question was, you know, so he's here in Storybrooke, but I was just curious if we're going to get him attached to what's-her-name from... the last time...
The Red Queen.
The Red Queen. Like, I was just curious if he is going to interconnect with her at all. I mean, I totally get it if they don't bring back Alice and Cyrus. That makes total sense. But I feel like they either have to bring back the Red Queen or mention why she's not around. Like, you can't... They've got to just sort of fill in that gap in some way, because it doesn't make sense otherwise. I mean, I get that he was the most popular character on the whole Wonderland thing, so it might make sense to only bring him back, but I really feel like they need to explain the Red Queen's absence, or they have to bring her in.
I don't think they're bringing her in. I think she's out. Because somewhere in some interview, there was a statement about how Will would only be there if things weren't going so well back in Wonderland.
Which does
Meaning
make sense.
Between him and Anastasia.
Right.
So I'm not really sure what the plan is. I'm not really sure why Will's back. I can't wait to find out.
Yeah, I just feel like they need to definitely explain it.
And I think it will be.
Yeah, and I also felt like when last we left Will, he was kind of beyond that being a thief thing. So I feel like we need to understand what got him sort of to regress in a way. Like, I feel we need to know about that.
Yeah, something has definitely changed for him if he's willing to steal so readily. And he's clearly been in Storybrooke a while. Because
right.
He was there for the blackout. And so how long has he been in Storybrooke? Like, what?
Right. How does this all work time-wise?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. So I'm really curious to find out what Will's backstory is since we last saw him, because it's definitely different from where we left him at the end of Wonderland. He was with Anastasia. They seem to be well. However, that doesn't seem to be the case at the moment. So I'm really excited to see what happens. I'm really excited to see kind of a reunion between he and Robin Hood, because I think they left things on very shaky terms, so it'll be interesting to see that as well.
Especially since Robin's been very understanding and, like, you know, he's been very mellow in Storybrooke so far, so it'd be nice to kind of see what happens when he meets this guy who he does not have good history with. Like, is he going to lose his temper? Like, what,
right.
You know, what's next? I'm kind of excited to see how that goes.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Anything with a knave is going to be super fun. I need some, like, knave hook time, because I think that would just be a snark off between the two of them.
I know,
lovely.
Right? I need them to go at it, like, to trade barbs back and forth, because that would be an amazing scene, yeah.
Yes. So, while Hook is supposed to be taking Elsa to the police station, he decides that they are definitely not going to sit on the sidelines, that they're going to get some answers. So Hook goes to Mr. Gold and says to Gold, I know you're lying. I know that's not the real dagger. I'm sure Belle would find that really entertaining. And that definitely gets Rumple's attention. He is not okay with anyone knowing that secret, especially Hook. And so he and Hook kind of have a standoff for a moment, and then Rumple decides he'll help them, because he can't have Belle knowing that she doesn't have the real dagger, that he lied again to her.
Right. Well, I also felt like Hook was, like, 95% sure, but he was going to just... Like, I felt like there was a little bit of a part of him that was bluffing there. Like, he didn't 100% know, but I felt like he was pretty sure, and then Hook's reaction, for me, I felt like it made up whatever was like the 5%, or that little bit that he wasn't 100% sure. I felt like Hook was doing a pretty good poker face, but that he wasn't really totally sure until Hook confirmed it himself.
You mean Rumple?
Oh, that's what I meant. Sorry. Yes.
I was like, that's an awful lot of Hook. I'm confused.
That's a little schizophrenic, isn't it? Yeah, no. I just felt like it was Hook. It was a little bit of a bluff on his part, because he had some doubts. And then when Rumple said, you know, kind of gave in to Hook's demands. That's what sealed, okay, you know, like, his guess was right. It was an educated guess, but his guess was right.
Yeah.
I loved the crocodile callback and
yes.
just the reminder that these two characters have a lot of history and he knows him better than you might remember. And that just, I loved that moment. It was like, yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah, he does know this guy. So I really appreciated the callback there, yeah.
Yes. Well, and it's, and it, the other side of it is, too, is that he also knows Balefire. Like, Hook had a really strong relationship with Bay and understands, you know, the Bay and Rumple thing, too. So I feel like it's, he's one of the few people that truly, really does know all the players here, and he's kind of changed. So I think that's pretty critical.
Absolutely. I really loved that scene, kind of seeing Hook step up in a way we haven't necessarily seen before. I liked it a lot. And then, of course, Rumple's comment of, I hope she's worth it. Because he knows the only reason Hook is doing this is for Emma. So, again, very telling on their part. So, Rumple helps them. He says, you know, this is, magic is really strong, and it's like Elsa's, but it's not the same as Elsa's. Because magic is like a fingerprint. It's all different. So,
right.
he sends the magic off to find its owner, and Elsa and Hook follow it. And they follow it to the forest, which is where they find the Snow Queen. And along the way, Elsa and Hook are talking, and this is one of the cutest scenes, I think, in the entire episode, where Elsa's trying to give love advice to Hook. I just found it so adorable. She's like, but Hook. And so, I don't know, I thought that was really cute. What did you think about Elsa and Hook's, like, moment?
Since Emma and Elsa have begun to bond, and it's kind of happened very quickly, I'm happy to see that these two at least get along. Like, that's totally fine with me. But I thought it was really cute, too. It was just sweet of her to kind of jump in and kind of help and try. It was really nice.
All right, so from there, they discover the Snow Queen, who's building a castle. Did that not look like Walt Disney Castle in the middle of Disney World?
Totally.
Okay.
Totally did.
Yeah.
Very weird. You know how they like to leave their Easter eggs all over the place.
Yeah, so she's building like an ice castle miniature in the middle of the forest. Like it's Arts and Crafts Day in the deep dark forest. I don't get
which
it.
Cinderella's?
Yeah, it's Cinderella's
and
castle.
And that's Cinderella's castle. Yeah, so you know, who knows what that means, but it's, you know, if that's what it is, then
yeah, God good times. Good times. So this is the time where Hook decides to call Emma, which again is a pretty comical moment. And the Snow Queen realizes they're there, and she traps Hook. And basically, she's trying to set Elsa up. Elsa does not remember her, even though we know that they've met. And so it's a very curious thing as to why she wouldn't be able to remember her. Now, the Snow Queen says it's the rock troll magic that's made her forget. And we know that the rock trolls can change memories because they did it for Anna. So, I don't know. What do you guys think about the whole Snow Queen story about why Elsa was in the urn, which she says Anna did it, and like Anna put her in the urn. She says that I forget what else she said. That the rock trolls took her memories of her. Which here's the thing: if the rock trolls took the memories of the Snow Queen, why would Anna still put her in the urn?
Yeah, see, now here's where me as the non-frozen person just got confused. So I got that the rock trolls were the little roly-poly stone people that look like Chia Pets.
Yes.
So I figured out that's who they were. But not really knowing anything about them, and other than the fact that they had a conversation with Elsa and Anna, and I didn't quite understand why they were talking to roly-poly rock people at that point, I just was kind of sort of generally confused. Like, I was like, don't know.
Here's your backstory.
So I was just overall confused as to whether this was in character, out of character. I didn't know what to make of it.
Okay, so here's the backstory. Kristoff was raised by the rock trolls. He didn't have a family. He was raised by the rock trolls. When Anna was very young, Elsa hit her in the head with a blast of magic, and it caused her to have a streak of white in her hair. And in order to save her, her parents brought her to the rock trolls, And the rock troll basically took her memories of Elsa's magic. So she always thought that they just played in the snow. She never thought that Elsa made the snow. And in the movie Frozen, it unravels that Anna learns about Elsa's magic again. Otherwise, Elsa has to keep it hidden.
Okay.
So, rock trolls are magical. They can change memory. They can do those things. But the question is, why would they do those things to Elsa?
As far as Anna and the urn, I'm kind of believing that maybe Anna was responsible for Elsa being put in there. But I think the circumstances are way different than the Snow Queen is kind of making her think they are. There's always some sort of, like, vein of truth in a villain, like, trying to manipulate people. Like, when they know that knowing this little bit of truth will go farther than anything else, they'll tell you as much of the truth as you need to know to do what they want you to do. And so I have a feeling that maybe Anna was responsible for Elsa being put in the urn, but that as far as she knew, she was protecting her or was doing something that would ultimately help. And so eventually she'll get the whole truth and find out that Anna wasn't really trying to hurt her or anything. She was just trying to, like, save her or protect her or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that being possible. She may be in the urn and Anna may have had something to do with it, but not in the way that the Snow Queen is intending for her to believe. It wasn't, you know,
right,
an evil
exactly.
thing. It was maybe to protect her or... Because the whole thing is if you have an urn and you have to choose between Elsa and the Snow Queen, who you're going to put in that urn, it's not going to be Elsa. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
or I feel like if Anna did it, she did it because of the Snow Queen. Kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, like, there was something going on that she couldn't... You know, she had to choose between Elsa and Kristoff, and she knew that Elsa could survive or something like that.
Yeah.
It's not what she's made it out to be so far.
Yeah, so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that unfolds, because I think there's a lot there that we could learn from. And then something very, very interesting happens in the next scene. Basically, the Snow Queen threatens Hook's life and says she's going to make an example out of him so that they all no longer trust Elsa and call her a monster and go after her. Then Emma shows up. And the Snow Queen has a very odd reaction to Emma. She says her name, and then, like, knows her, and then lets it go, which is really, really weird. So, clearly, something's going on with the Snow Queen there. She knows Emma, and nobody seems to know how. And then Emma finally uses her magic to save Hook, and it actually works. Like, the first time, and it's strong. So, where's that magic been the whole time?
As far as the Snow Queen knowing Emma, I was surprised that Emma was so surprised, personally. It seems like the Snow Queen has been in town. Like, she owns the ice cream parlor, and Roland and Robin had been there. So, I just assumed that if you're in Storybrooke, and you've been there, that... you would know who Emma was. Now,
but it wasn't that kind of knowing. Do you know what I mean? Like, the way she says Emma's name, is if it wasn't the same thing.
I know
yeah,
what
as
you
if
mean.
They'd encountered each other somehow. Yeah, clearly Emma does no recollection.
It bothered me, I guess, how surprised Emma was that she knew who she was. Like, I totally understand what you mean. But I was like, okay, first of all, if she's been here, she would know who you are. Maybe not your whole story, but she at least recognize your name and know you're the savior, because everyone knows that. That was just the first instinct for me was like, why is that a surprise? So, yeah, no, I totally know what you mean, though. Like, there's definitely something else going on there, and they've met before.
It was the way she said it. It was something like she was shocked. Like, why would you be surprised if the Sheriff Emma showed up? Do you know what I mean? It was more than that. I don't know. I can't wait to see how that unfolds either, because clearly there's a big thing going on there.
And as far as Emma's magic goes, she can now wield it at her disposal as long as somebody's in immediate danger, right?
Someone other than herself, obviously.
Right. Yeah, like she can
Pretty sweet. I loved her tossing Charming and Hook out of the way of the ice pegs. That was like, whee! That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoy Emma with magic. Now, if she could just keep it, that'd be awesome. So I was really excited to see her magic finally work in a moment. The Ice Queen gets away, but what are you gonna do? So then we go back and Regina, we have another moment with Regina where, and I knew what she was gonna do from the beginning when she said she was gonna do something drastic. Did you guys basically know she was gonna take Marion's heart?
I put it together too. Like, as soon as she said, there is something I can do, I'll need something for my vault, I was like, yes. Like, that actually is a good thing here. Like, okay, do it. Yeah. Like, that was my first instinct too.
Yeah, I pretty much knew what it was too, and I thought it was interesting that it was, very different from every other heart snatch that we've seen. It
Yeah.
was pretty cool.
It was a protection kind of thing, which was interesting. So I like that. And then we have Robin's confession to Regina about he feels that maybe True Love's Kiss didn't work because he isn't just in love with Marion, or he's not really in love with Marion. So what did you guys think about that? Because I'm a little torn about the whole situation.
I thought it was, they're trying to chalk it up to the snow, and David's like, oh, I've experienced this one time before, blah, blah, blah. I feel like, well, we also don't know, like, how this whole true love thing works. Like, I feel like he had kind of moved on from that relationship. Like, he had mourned it, he had let it go, and now he had moved on. So, I don't know. I feel like he might feel more beholden to Marion than currently in love with her. I mean, I think
Right.
this would be,
Well, the
I mean, it's almost like meeting an ex-boyfriend or something, or somebody that you broke up with on fairly good terms and then seeing them again years later. It's like, are you still emotionally in the same place where you were with them? So that's how I took it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's still in love with Marion, but like for me, the hard part was Robin's confession to Regina. It's just one more thing. Like, it's that element of hope for Regina that sits there that she can't really grasp. Do you know what I mean? And like it feels almost cruel in a sense.
No, yeah, I am the same thing. Like, it just seems, it's, I know what he's doing. He's not trying to be mean. He's not trying to hurt her. But at the same time, he's trying to be honest about what he's really feeling and what's really going on here. And it's like, stop giving her hope. It's like the How I Met Your Mother, you crack the door open thing again. Like, you can't tell her, I don't really love Marion, but I'm going to stay with her because she's the mother of my child. Like, you can't keep doing that. You have to tell her, I'm staying with Marion. Like, we all know, including Regina, that you love her, but unless you're going to do something about it, like, it just hurts to keep dangling the carrot. And that's, it's driving me crazy too.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's
that's.
kind of like halfway ripping off a band-aid. Like, exactly.
It's very hard. Because I want Regina to be happy. I think she's come so far and she's worked so hard for it that she deserves it. But I just feel like he's torn, and I get that he's torn and he's having a hard time. But when he does that with Regina, it only makes it worse for her too. So I hope it works out for them all. Marion can just stay a popsicle forever. Let's call it a day. I don't know. I don't know. But we'll see. And then in other couple news in the town of Storybrooke, we have Emma and Hook. And Emma's mad at Hook because he went off into the forest. Hook's mad at Emma because she doesn't trust him in his mind. And this is when the confessions come out. And Emma just basically says, everyone I've ever been with is dead. They're gone. Graham and Neil and even Walsh, like, they're gone. So in Emma's mind, if she chooses to be with Hook, something bad will happen to him. So I thought that was pretty telling.
It's like, yeah, it's
I
like
did
poor
too.
Emma. Like,
Oh, yeah.
I totally see where she's coming from, but it's like, you also have to know Hook, and he's not just gonna let, lay down and let this happen. Like, he's a survivor, he always has been, and so I see what she's freaking out about, but I'm also like, okay, you've told him, you've confessed, you've gotten this past. Now let's put it behind us and keep moving forward.
Well, the other thing that I think, too, is kind of, I don't know if anybody else got distracted during that whole scene but me, is they've got to stop doing the shot of the camera over Hook's right shoulder to focus on Emma. It's like, can you just go over his left shoulder, the side that does not have the clip-on earring? Because I was completely distracted once again looking at the clip-on earring. They have got to stop that over the right shoulder shot of Emma. It's just dropping me out of the scene every single time when I see that little grandma earring stud there. They've got to stop doing that.
Oh, I didn't notice it this time at all.
Oh,
I missed
maybe
it
I
this
did.
Time too.
Last and time I
watched
totally
it.
Did.
Last I
time
watched
was
it,
really bad.
Yeah, and I've watched it twice and I didn't notice it either time. So, yeah. Anyway, I thought that was a really sweet moment. I thought it was really telling about who Emma is and what Emma thinks about things. So, that means she really, really, really cares for Hook if she's willing to, like, keep her... You know what I mean? At least that's what I took away from it. Maybe that's just me being, you know, wishful thinking on my part. So there's that, and I thought that was a really good moment. And I know for next week's episode... And this was revealed at the panel, and if you guys watch the trailer, you'll see that next week, Emma and Hook have their first official date, which is kind of exciting.
Yay!
And it's not at Granny's.
And I've heard tell
and he
that
gets
he's
Sam
getting
back.
New like,
I, yeah, no, didn't you see them? Yeah, didn't you see in the trailer he has on different clothes?
I couldn't,
yes,
like, tell, but I heard tell that... This was going to happen.
Yeah,
so
for their date night clothes, man. They're date night clothes. So yeah, there are no leather jacket with weird vest that's open to show all the chest hair and all that stuff. No new clothes. I like it. And then the last thing that happens in this episode, which is, oh, it leaves so many more questions than give any answers at all, is Rumple talks to the Snow Queen. And it's revealed that clearly Rumple knows what the Snow Queen is up to. Whatever her plan is, Rumple's in on it. And that the Snow Queen has spent time with Emma, and Emma has forgotten. But if Emma remembers, then everyone's in trouble. So, when could that have happened? Do you know what I mean? There was never a point in time when Emma was really missing. So, what the heck is going on? Could it be from before Emma got to Storybrooke when she was a child?
Yeah,
Could be. That would make sense.
That's the only thing I could think of, too, is somehow throughout her childhood she ran into the Snow Queen. It's gotta be.
I don't know, but that the conversation between Rumple and the Snow Queen was so good, and yet I feel like I have so many questions.
I'm just... I've always liked Rumple. Like, I like the fight that he's had going on for the first couple of seasons, but I have to say that I'm more frustrated with him right now than I have been in forever. Like, he is driving me crazy because he's had every reason and, you know, he's starting to get all of the things he's kind of wanted, and now he's shooting himself in the foot over it again. Like, it's like, stop it. Like, just, if I could shake him, I would.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like Rumple hasn't changed at all, or if he did change, he's completely reverted, and I don't really think there's going to be a lot of hope for him. I don't think he's going to change, whereas, you know, Regina has made a very solid change. Rumple just hasn't.
That's pretty much, yeah. I mean, Regina, you can see the change. Like, you can see that she's trying to do things differently. She's trying to think that, I mean, she'll have her lapses, yes, but ultimately she's not falling back into the same patterns, whereas Rumple falls back into those patterns, and then you get moments where you think he's going to learn, and then he doesn't.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting, too, is that I've had, you know, both positive and negative reactions to Rumple and Regina, but I can't say until last night Rumple ever actually made my skin crawl. Rumple made my skin crawl, like, all through the episode. I was like, ooh, it's like, I'm so done with you. So I'm curious if he's even redeemable at this point, and did he ever actually get to one of those honest moments ever? I'm starting to doubt that.
Yeah, it's definitely questionable. at this point, because it doesn't seem like it anymore. I mean, I know so much has happened to him, but at the same time, he is so beyond, like, he's broken beyond repair, I think, at this point in time.
There's only so many times where you can break your loved one's trust and have them forgive you and come back and still be there. And I just feel like at this point, if/when Belle finds out about the dagger and finds out about all of the things going on and that he knows about the Snow Queen and he wouldn't tell them and doesn't want to help, I just feel like we're finally at that it's one too many point where there's no way they can forgive him and trust him after this.
Yeah, this is very true. So it'll be interesting to see how this develops throughout the season and what if we get a really strong look at Rumple's character and if this is some sort of play or if this is really who he's going to be. It'll be very, very interesting. So there were a couple of go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think as intriguing as what is Rumple going to do, I think the biggest blow up is going to be Belle, because I think Belle has been very willing to forgive him, but at this point, I am wondering if Belle is just going to be like, no, and walk out the door. Like, I'm not so sure Belle is going to forgive where he's at right now. I'm curious about it.
I'm going to go with no. I don't know. There's something about that betrayal that's too much.
I just think a big kaboom is coming. Like, I'm not sure Sari's going to cut it this time. I'm really wondering.
Yeah, so, well, that's something to look forward to as well. This episode, there were also a couple of Easter eggs. I don't know if you guys noticed them. When Regina brought the comic books to Henry, one was Thor, and I think the other one was, like, Iron Man or something. So I saw
the Thor one.
I thought that was kind of funny.
I kind of squealed. So it's like, oh!
A little crossover. And then Hopper makes a Let It Go comment to Snow White. That I thought
was entertaining. I missed it, but as soon as I saw that listed in the doc, I was like, okay, I need to go back and just hear it. Because for some reason,
you just let it go. And I'm like, oh, no, you did not.
We had to get one. I mean, we had to. It was sitting right there.
I feel like it's one an episode now. Instead of I Will Always Find You, it's a Let It Go. So those are the things that I noticed this episode. I don't know if anyone noticed anything different, if there were other little Easter eggs. And then, of course, the castle, which kind of looks like Cinderella's castle. So, yeah. All right, so does anyone have anything else for this episode?
No, I think
that's it. So next episode will be next week, obviously, and it looks like we're going to have a lot to talk about between Hook and Emma's first date, the possible reappearance of Hook's hand. All kinds of stuff. Not really sure what's going to happen. It'll be really interesting, as always. So until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Laura.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye, guys.